a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
What's up, everyone? This is End Time Headlines. It is Tuesday, the 28th of June. It is a little bit past 2 p.m. Eastern Time here in my neck of the woods, and we want to welcome you to the broadcast today. And if this is your first time joining us, either live or by the rebroadcast of this, I want to officially welcome you to the broadcast. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. Today, I've got an interesting word that I want to share with you. And I want to talk about the three groups of people, in my opinion, I believe are being exposed right now in the body of Christ. And how they're being exposed is the more righteousness, truth, and justice that is being brought forth in the body of Christ, it is making a distinction and it is bringing to light or surface three groups of individuals. I like to say it like this. It's kind of like how gold is purified. It is heated up and then the dross is brought to the top and it is skimmed off. So in the Old Testament, when they wanted to make manifest the counterfeit in the camp, when they wanted to bring to exposure the counterfeit light, the false fire, what they did is they would have these powerful, intense prayer and intercession. They'd call down the fire of God. And when the true fire of God came and the truth came and the manifested presence of God came, it always made manifest the counterfeit. And I believe we're seeing that right now. So we're going to talk about these three groups of individuals today. So how are we going to do that? I want to get right into this today. So again, we welcome you to the broadcast. If you're easily offended, then you might be one of these three groups of individuals based upon what my context is today. Pulpits across America. This past Sunday, you would have thought that every pulpit in America would be filled with praise and the thanksgiving to God for hearing and answering the prayers and intercessions of countless believers over the past 50 years that have been interceding for literally millions of unborn babies that were taken before birth from this modern Moloch system that has been in place. But instead, many, many pulpits chose to remain silent. Why? Fear of backlash? Offending someone in the congregation? Fear of losing money from their top tithers and givers who probably have a different political view as them? Or individuals who claim to be quote-unquote Christians? The support, the shedding of innocent blood, or perhaps there was a fear of losing their 501c3 nonprofit status. Nevertheless, to me, this is an outrage. When I believe heaven is rejoicing, and we remain silent for the fear of any of these things is an absolute atrocity. But too many that are focused on the major victory at the Supreme Court, there was another major victory that we're also hearing a lot of silence about. The Supreme Court this week handed a huge win to a former Washington High School football coach who lost his job over reciting a prayer on the 50-yard line after games. And this made headlines everywhere, and this has been going ongoing. Quote, according to Fox News, an issue of whether a public school employee praying alone but in view of students was engaging in unprotected, quote, government speech, and if it is not government speech, does it still pose a problem under the First Amendment's Establishment Clause? The Supreme Court ruled yesterday in a 6-3 decision that the answer to both of these questions is no. Quote, here a government entity sought to punish an individual for engaging in a brief, quiet, personal religious observance protected by the free exercise and free speech clause of the First Amendment. And the only meaningful justification the government offered for its reprisal rested on a mistaken view that it had a duty to ferret out and suppress. This was according to Justice Neil Gorsuch, wrote in the court's opinion, quote, religious observances, even as it allows the comparable secular speech, the Constitution neither mandates nor tolerates that kind of discrimination. Now, why is this important? Because this was a huge victory for religious freedom to pray in America. So again, I want to emphasize this today before we go on to what I'm going to share a word with you today about. Two major victories in 1 week's time coming from the Supreme Court. One is this now the protection of innocent. Now, of course, it's not going to completely do away with abortion because we know this will go to a state by state issue. But again, this was a huge step in, again, answering the prayers of many believers to protect the unborn. Then we have this major ruling from the Supreme Court that is a huge win for religious freedom. And again, my question today is, why are so many churches silent about this? Not just crickets behind the pulpit, crickets on the platforms, crickets across the board. Not everyone. I'm not painting a broad brush and saying every church was silent about it, but I'm telling you, a lot of ministries, a lot of pulpits, a lot of churches were silent. Well, listen, there may have been a lot of silence in pulpits, but there was definitely not a lot of silence on social media platforms. No, sir, there was not. In fact, there was a lot of outrage among professed Christians who were outraged at the Supreme Court decision to no longer protect abortion under Constitution. Yes, you heard me correctly. Professed Christians who were outraged because women could no longer constitutionally under law of the Constitution of the protection of the Constitution could go out and perform abortions. Professed Christians were outraged over this. So as I was taking all this in, over the past 3 months, 6 months, over the past year, because it's not just abortion, it's other issues, it's other things that God has made black and white in the Word of God. On one hand, I don't understand why this is even debatable. Why are we debating something that the Word of God is black and white on? If the Bible calls something an abomination, wouldn't you think a believer would agree with the Word of God? You would think so. But we're living in 2022 when the Word of God is no longer absolute. It doesn't matter what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. If I feel a certain way, or it emotionally charges me a certain way, or I disagree with it, then that's the way I'm going to side with. And every man did which was right in his own sight. But you know what this is doing? So on one hand, I was very flustered about this. In fact, I was angry. I was grieved. I went through a mix of emotions: angry, sad, grieved, vexed. But then I felt like the Lord said, son, these things have to happen in order to bring to light these three groups of people. And I'm going to show you in the Bible today, there's three groups of people in your Bible that Christ and the apostles warned us about. And I'm going to talk about, that's what we're going to talk about today. So let me just pull up this and I'm going to show you. Here's your three groups of people. Ready? Today, we're exposing. These three groups of people are likely in your church as we speak. They're in the body of Christ. They're everywhere. They're on social media. They're in your church. They're in your community. They'll call themselves Christians. They'll call themselves believers. They'll have a Jesus bumper sticker on. They'll wear a cross on their neck. They'll have a Bible in their hand. They'll even show up for church on Sunday morning. But ready? Here's the three groups of people. And we're going to talk about them today. Wolves, tares, and goats. Let me say that again. Wolves, tares, and goats. These are the three groups of people that are being exposed today. So without further ado, let's get after this. Let's go to the first one. Let's talk about goats. What did the Lord say about goats? He said in Matthew 25, 31 through 33, listen to this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Somebody say goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left hand. Now, this passage is dealing with nations. It's talking about nations. He tells you that right there in verse, right there in the passage, all nations. But let me tell you something. There's goats in the body of Christ. Goats. So we're going to have to do some characteristic examinations today. I want to show you the difference between a sheep and a goat. Ready? Here we go. Sheep by nature are grazers. They like to graze all day. Come on, somebody. Come on. Sheep like the word. They devour the word. They hunger for the word. They desire for the word. They like, it's not a burden for them. Come on, to meditate on the word day and night and graze upon the word. All sheep have a strong flocking instinct. They don't like to be alone. They don't like to be solo. Listen, there's something wrong with you if you call yourself a believer and you don't like being around other believers. You don't like going to church or being around the church or being in gathering and gathering together with other believers, even more so as the day approaches. You are not a lone ranger, and God didn't call you to you, yourself, and I. God wants you to be with other believers. In the beginning, God said it's not good for man to be alone. Listen, when sheep are under a threat or weathering a storm, they will naturally flock together into a group and can quickly become distressed when separated from others after fleeing. Come on, by nature, sheep, come on, they gather together because there's strength in numbers. Oh, whether two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Come on, the Bible says, how can any two walk together lest they be agreed? Woe unto the man who falls, and when he falls, he's alone. If one can set 1,000 to flight, then two can set 10,000 to flight. Listen to this. Sheep will reform their group and look at the predator. They won't go off alone and try to fight a battle they can't win. They regroup, they gather together, and they know their strength in number. They use their natural herding instinct to band together for safety. A sheep that is by itself is vulnerable to attack. Most sheep that get devoured by their prey end up straying from the herd. Oh, you didn't hear me. I'm going to say it a little bit louder for the back row. I said most sheep that ended up being vulnerable to attack from the prey is when they veer off from the herd. Listen, I'm going to tell you, most Christians that I ever talk to, when they get beat up by the devil the most, when they come under attack the most, when they have the most, the worst attacks upon them and they can't get victory over it, I soon find out when I ask them, when was the last time you were in church? When was the last time you were with the other believers? When was the last time you joined together in prayer and in unity and in agreement? And I find out that they don't go to church anymore. They're not in the word anymore. They're not around other believers. Come on. Iron sharpens iron. I need you. You need me. Oh, yes. Come on. Now watch this. When they're faced with danger, their natural instinct is to flee and not fight. Come on, there's some things you don't have no bit. Listen, there is many fights that you and I can get engaged in, and we get in the flesh and blood when God says, I don't want you getting in the flesh and blood. I just need you to go home and get in your prayer closet, because I can do a whole lot more with you on your knees than I can you putting on the boxing gloves and trying to get physical with this thing. There's a sheep's strategy is to use avoidance and rapid flight to avoid being eaten. Oh, yes. Listen to this. They prefer to eat from near the ground as they graze while they wander around. Come on, they stay grounded. Sheep have an amazing, this is incredible, guys, when I begin to research this. Listen to this. Sheep, by nature, have an amazing tolerance for pain. They do not show pain or express pain, because if they do, they will be more vulnerable to predators who look for those who are weak or injured. Come on. How many believe there's some things that we don't need to be expressing on social media? Listen, if you've got a weakness, it's okay to talk amongst each other or a group of individuals that you can trust and put your confidence in and confide in, because the Bible says, pray unto one unto another, confess your faults one another that you may be healed. But listen, if we go and air out all of our laundry and our weaknesses and our faults online, I'm telling you, not only is everybody else seeing your business, but the devil is hearing you and listening and seeing your weaknesses. So he doesn't have to come up with a 6-point strategy on how he can get to you, because you've laid it all out there for him. Oh, I'm laying it out here, guys. I'm telling you, because I'm preaching to myself today as well as to you today. And what's interesting is if you study out the life of Jesus when he was being led to the cross, Remember when he was scourged and when he was inflicted there through Roman punishment and chastisement? The Bible says that he was beaten, but he did not let out. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. That's what that means. He didn't cry out in the process of it. Come on. God, what am I saying? I'm saying God wants to take a jelly spine out of you and give you, come on, a spine of steel. He wants you to give you a face like flint. He's created us to endure hardship, endure trials, endure tribulations, endure persecutions. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, I consider this light affliction but for a moment, and it shall not be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. Listen to this. Sheep need a shepherd to keep them from wandering off and getting bit by serpents and falling off cliffs. That went right over some of y'all's head, because I know how some of y'all roll. I said, sheep need a shepherd to keep them from wandering off and getting bit by serpents and falling off cliffs. Listen to me. Every one of us needs a pastor in our life. We need a leader speaking in our life. We need someone that is willing to rebuke us when we need to be rebuked, need to correct us when we need to be corrected. Come on, exhort us when we need to be exhorted. We need a leader to, come on, weep with us when we are weeping and celebrate and rejoice when we are rejoicing. I don't want a weak, pansy, lily-livered, compromised leader in my life. I need a leader that's going to look me in the eyes when I'm wandering off the path, and he's going to say, dummy, what are you doing? Get back on the straight and narrow. You need to get on this path and get back on it now. Come on. Do you have a leader that you can say and speak it in your life like that? I need a leader that when he sees a serpent in my path that I don't see, he can warn me and he can reveal it to me, and he's going to help me to veer, to get around that so that I don't get bitten by serpents. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Ricky? This is just, I don't know if I believe all this. Well, let me pull up John chapter 10, 11 through 13, and John 10, 3. I know this is kind of backwards, but I did that for a reason. Let me read this. Ready? Quote, Jesus is speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, oh yes, is he who is not the shepherd. Oh, did you know how many hirelings we got in pulpits across America? And if you think for one minute they'd be willing to lay down their life for their flock, you got another thing coming. Listen, if they can't even rejoice over what just happened at the Supreme Court, you think they're gonna lay down their life for you? Come on, wake up, somebody. Listen. The hireling is one who does not own the sheep. Listen to this. But he sees the wolf coming. And I'm going to talk more about the wolves in just a moment. Here in just a minute, I'm going to talk about the wolves. He sees the wolves coming. Look what it says. And he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters. You know why he leaves the wolf to devour the flock? Because there's probably a good chance that he's in cahoots with the wolf. Let me ask you this. Who opened the door for the wolf to come in the first place? Oh, listen, I'm gonna preach hard today. There's a lot of pastors that are shacked up with wolves. They're partnered with wolves. They're in covenant with wolves. And they get kickbacks from wolves. So it don't matter if the wolves are behind the pulpits and masquerading as apostles and evangelists and whatever. And they're fleecing the flock, and the hirelings are completely okay with that. Why? Because they're getting kickbacks. They're getting under the table offerings. They're getting recognition. They're getting platforms. But let me pull this back up. I got to finish this today. We got a lot to cover here. We're still on one group here. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. But the good shepherd is not like that. Now listen to this. John 10:3. Ready? To him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, not behind them. He goes before them. Why? Because if the wolf comes, he's there to protect them. He's there to defend them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, having said that, check this out. It is a known fact, and we've talked about this, that there is three voices that are competing for your attention every day. Let me say that again. There's three voices every single day. When you get out of bed, there's going to be three voices competing for your attention. They want to lead you. They want to guide you. They're speaking every day. Those three voices are the voice of your soul. That's the mind, will, and emotions. That's you, the flesh. There's the voice of Satan or evil spirit speaking, or there's the voice of God through the Holy Spirit. Did y'all hear that? Number one, flesh. Number two, Satan. Number three, God. All three of these are competing for your ear. But here's what's interesting. When you do a study about sheep, it's interesting to me that here's what I found out. As a shepherd approaches his sheep, possibly even as he approaches the sheepfold and the gatekeeper, the shepherd will typically call to his sheep that would alert the sheep to his presence. Whatever he does, it is clear that the sheep who have been surrounded by various sounds all night long recognize and distinguish the sound of their shepherd's voice calling. Oh, did you hear that? They're surrounded by crickets. They're surrounded by frogs. They're surrounded by coyotes. They're surrounded by roosters, and they're surrounded by cows mooing, and they're surrounded by all these noises. But when the shepherd speaks, they know intentively, and they know, oh, come on, somebody. They know by relationship that they can distinguish that's not a frog. That's not a cricket. That's not a coyote. That's not a wolf. That is my shepherd speaking to me, and I know his voice. Sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd because they have spent time listening to the voice of their shepherd. Day in and day out, they have heard him making these sounds. They know his voice clearly. Think about this, guys, in the natural. As a father, I can be at a grocery store or I can be somewhere out in public and there could be 40 kids. And what the moment that my son, one of my sons cries out, really it's, I will say my youngest because my oldest son is 14 now, but there was a time when he was younger and this was still applicable then. But the moment your child cries out, immediately you can filter out all 39 other kids and be like, that's my child. I know his voice. Come on, somebody. I know the sound of his voice. Why? Because you have spent so much time in his presence that it is stained in your, come on, in your soul, in your mind, in your emotions. You recognize by relationship. I'm trying to tell you, friends, you will distinguish the shepherd's voice by spending more and more and more time in his word and in prayer. But we got to get to the goats. We got to get to the goats. And that's where we're going right now. Let's talk about goats. How do we recognize goats in the body of Christ, and are they being exposed? I believe so. Listen to this. Goats, unlike sheep, are browsers. They're always using their heads to butt around. Oh, come on. Goats are always butting into everybody's business. Come on. They're always asking questions. They're always busybodies. They're always curious. Always going around spreading the latest gossip. Always spreading discord among the brethren. Always getting their heads involved in everybody else's business. Because they can't mind their own business. Number two, goats are known for finding trouble and do not like being confined. Let me say that again. Goats are known to get in trouble and they do not like being confined. Oh, you want to make this real applicable? Goats don't like being confined. They don't like being told what to do. They don't like obeying. They don't like being told, they don't like correction. They don't like rebuke. They probably don't like to be in a church service because it confines them. Listen to this. Goats have an extremely independent and curious nature and often like to go and investigate things. Again, what does that mean? The goats are the ones that are always stirring up trouble. Why? Because they're always meddling in other people's business. Oh, did you hear? Well, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you see so-and-so? I can't believe so-and-so did that. I can't believe they did that. Listen to this. Goats are known for eating pretty much anything they come across. But sheep are not that way. Oh, let me say that again. Goats will eat anything. Sheep will not. Goats will devour false doctrine. Goats will devour doctrines of demons and devils. Goats will digest things coming from the pulpit that don't even line up with the word because they'll just eat anything. Come on. But a good sheep is like a Berean, and you try to put something in front of them that they don't naturally eat, they're going to be detested by it. They're going to shun it. Come on, do I got sheep with me or do I got goats with me today? So goats are being exposed. And how are goats being exposed in this hour? Listen, I'm going to tell you how to expose them. You start having prayer meetings. You start having Holy Ghost anointed, fire branded services, and you'll see who the goats are. You start preaching on gossip and slander and discord, and the ones who get offended and the ones who leave and the ones that get their feathers ruffled are probably the ones who are propagating it. No wonder Paul said, mark those which cause divisions among you and have no fellowship with them. In other words, put a bullseye on that goat and don't even hang out with them. But we got it. So number two, all right, so we have goats being exposed in the church. Number two, we've got wolves being exposed in this hour. Let me bring up the verses of scripture for that. Ready? Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Somebody say ravenous wolves. Acts 20. Now that was Jesus speaking, right? Then we go to the book of Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30. And listen what the apostle Paul says. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, After Paul is no longer in the equation, you realize the Apostle Paul was an apostle that oversaw all these churches in Asia Minor and different churches, the church of Ephesus, the church in Rome, the church of Corinth. He was an apostle over these churches. And Paul was weeping because he knew that he was a type of a restrainer to these churches that was holding back the wolves from coming in and devouring the flock. But he understood that when he was no longer in the picture, listen what he says, for I know this, verse 29, Acts 20, 29, for I know this, that after my departure, what does it say here? Savage wolves will come in where? The body of Christ. Among you, among who? Believers. Listen what he says, they will not spare the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, there is wolves everywhere. There's wolves on Christian television. There's wolves that has written best-selling novels in the name of Christianity. There's wolves that are coming through churches across America as riding a circuit across America in the name of an evangelist or an apostle. And listen, they are in cahoots with the shepherds of these churches. The shepherds are letting them come right on in and devour the flock and taking them captive. Let me give you some characteristics of wolves. Wolves, listen to this. Wolves pick their prey based on the size of the pack of the wolves and the terrain. So they listen to that. Do you hear that? In other words, wolves will come in and they will scout out and they will assess the flock before they make their move. Oh, you ever notice that most wolves will come into large churches and not smaller churches to devour them? You want to know why? Because they blend in better in large places, but you get them in small places, they are easily exposed and brought to light. When hunting large game, the wolf pack separates out and surrounds its prey. Wolves, now listen to this. I'm going to say something else. Ready? Wolves like to run with other wolves. Oh, that's, I could just drop the mic right there. If you see one wolf, look around, start doing research, get online, get on the internet. Who are they running with? Who are they in covenant with? Who are they packed with? Who are they doing conferences with? Because wolves run in packs. They congregate together. They run together. Well, listen to this. Wolves usually bite the shoulders and flanks of its prey. They don't just come out and take you out in one bite. They come and they take shots at you. Why? Because they want to weaken you and weaken you. Come on. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Just a little bit of falsehood. Just a little bit of false doctrine. Just a little bit of deception. While some pack members approach the prey from the rear, other wolves seize the prey by the nose. How insane is it that there's wolves right in front of our nose and we don't even recognize it? Why? Because we've not spent time with the shepherd. Wolves, wolf packs, oh, this is important. Ready? Wolf packs do not like to stay in one central location. They are known to travel as far as 12 miles per day. Did you hear that? Wolves don't like to stay in one place for too long. Why? Because they'll be exposed. They'll be brought to light. So they come in, they do the damage, and they head out, and they go to the next town. They go to the next church. They go to the next flock. They find the next pastor, the next hireling that they can connect with. Wolves have friends. Wolves howl and communicate with other members of the pack. Again, they run together. So listen, listen to me. If you see one wolf, look out, because there's other wolves and they're running together. It's kind of like birds of the feather flock together. It's kind of the same scenario here. All right, number three. So we've got goats, we've got wolves, and here's one, tares. Tares. Let me give you the verse for that. Now, tares, and we're going to break all this down. I'm going to give you some more insight into this when we get to the end of this thing. Let me give you this. Matthew 13. This is Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Matthew 13, 24 through 30. And then another parable he brought forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. Notice that tares get sown among the wheat when, watch this, when men fall into apathy, lukewarmness, lackadaisicalness, when they fall into a deep sleep, when they are asleep, that's when tares are sown among the wheat. Notice it says, the enemy sows the tares among the wheat, and then he goes away. Well, brother, we're doing good. We've not had a real attack of the enemy. We've not come under any real spiritual attacks. Well, just hang on for a minute. Watch this. But when the grain had sprouted, see, there's a process of time. You see that? There's seed form. Then there's the grain sprouting and producing a crop. Look at this. Then the tares also appear. Look, it's amazing. You can have tares in your church and your small group, whatever the case may be, or your home group, whatever your gathering is. You can have tares among you and you not even know it until you get to harvest time. Oh, what am I talking about? Harvest time. Listen, when we see a major victory like we just saw at the Supreme Court, and you got professed Christians that are angry about that, they were never a wheat to begin with. They were tares all along, and this, look, this would happen at the Supreme Court, simply exposed them. But notice it came at the time of harvest. Listen, if this would have never happened, you would have never known some of these people were tares. But listen, when even if you experience real revival in your church, in your home group, in your cell group, whatever the case may be, when real revival comes and it begins to separate and it begins to divide and it begins to burn off and it begins to break off and it begins to snip off through shearing and through pruning and through laying down and casting aside and repentance and all this stuff comes. And guys, listen to me. It will expose the tares. Listen to what he says here. Watch. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Question. How then does it even have tares? And he said to them, quote, an enemy has done this. So we got to recognize this. This has been the strategy of Satan from the beginning of time when the church was birthed. Because Satan knows that a unified church will make the very gates of hell tremble. So if Satan can divide the church by coming into a church and sowing tares among the wheat, then he knows that eventually it will cause a church split. Oh, I know some of y'all don't know nothing about a church split, because that's never happened, right? I mean, the Church of God has never done that. The Church of God of Prophecy, the Assemblies of God, the First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Independent Baptist, the Holy Ghost Spirit-filled Baptist, the this, that. We've got, my God, we've got so many denominations. It's like a bag of Skittles. Why? Why do we have this? Because there has been tares sown among the wheat. Now I want to get back to this. I want to show you something. Let's see what he says. So he acknowledges the enemy has done this. The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" And he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now we know I believe there's a primary and a secondary interpretations. Primary is this is a verse regarding the end times, right? We should all agree on that. But on the secondary interpretation of this, watch this. Many times, when it comes to tares, let me get to this first, and then this will make more sense to you guys. Ready? Let me give you some characteristics of tares, and then I'm going to follow up on Matthew 13. Ready? The tare is light, and it lacks substance, but the wheat is heavy and bears fruit. Ready? In the tares, there are tiny black seeds inside the tare, and if you consume it, can cause dizziness and nausea. Come on. I don't know about you, but I've heard what I see on social media from these tares, it makes me nauseous, and it makes my head spin because I can't understand what Bible they're reading to validate their claims or to condone what God calls an abomination. Listen to this. Tares stand straight up and are stiff, while wheat bows and bows over from the weight of the fruit, and the wheat sways with the wind while the tare remains stiff and straight. Both of these, here's the key, ready? Both wheat and tare share the same root. Even if we were to grab the tare and try to rip it out and try to remove it, we will ultimately end up removing wheat in the process. Now, what does all this mean, Brother Ricky? Here's what it means. If you want to see tares exposed in the church, listen, the closer we get to the end time, the tares are going to become more and more evident. Watch this. As long as the remnant body of Christ stands firm and remains in the word that changes not and agrees with the word that changes not, watch this. The tares will compromise. The tares will refuse, come on, to be led or moved by the wind of the Holy Spirit. They will remain stiff. They will remain firm in their pride and their arrogance. It don't matter. You can bring the word to them. You can bring all of it out to them, and they will still refuse to hear what you have to say. And they will say, I've heard what you've said, but to me this, or to me to that. So here's the conclusion I've come to. In many cases, we in ourselves cannot do anything about the tares. You know who's going to have to remove them? God himself. And I believe, listen to me. Now I want to get to the point that that I want to preach this. So I'm going to close this because I don't want this to distract me. I just want to preach what I've told. I told a small group of people off the camera, and I'm going to tell you what I told them on the camera. And that's this. What we're seeing right now is the manifestation of what Christ warned us about. Listen to me, in the gospel, in one of the gospels, either in Matthew, Mark, Luke, I don't have it in front of me, but he said this. He said, think not that the Son of Man has come to bring peace on the earth, but to bring a sword and to put a mother against a father, or a mother against a father, and a father against a mother, and a husband against a wife, and a wife against a husband, and a brother against a sister, and sister, and a son against a parent. Now, when you read that from a surface level, it sounds as if God wants to divide families, but you've got to study that in the Greek, because here's what he's saying. When the true gospel comes, it is a two-edged sword. Think not that he came to bring peace, but a sword. When the sword of the word of God comes, it rightfully divides. And what's happening right now? Families are being divided. Homes are being divided. Churches are being divided. Now, I'm telling you right now, this grieves God. It breaks his heart. It quenches him. It vexes him. But listen, it is separating the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goat. Come on. And the wolves, exposing them. And I'm seeing this. This is happening in our family. Even this past week, over what just happened at the Supreme Court, a sword coming right down. And I've seen it. I'm seeing churches losing members, people leaving the church, people just, and listen, not because, and not because, listen to me, not because, it's not because they left because there was a whoop on the pulpit. Many people are leaving churches that are the remnant churches that are preaching truth. And because they have been swayed and they have been cradled to sleep by the enemy, they are not able to consume or tolerate the true gospel. And it's offensive to them. It rattles their cages. It rocks their boat. It causes disagreements. Well, bro, and listen, this is why you see pulpits silent. I don't want to cause any problems. I don't want to stir the boat. I don't want to stir the pot. I don't want to ruffle feathers. I just want to do whatever I need to do to get warm heinies in my chairs and pews, because with those warm heinies comes money in the offering plate. Listen, I can talk like this because I'm not a 501c3. I'm seeing people all over the internet. We need to start taxing those churches. If churches can get involved in these kind of decisions, then they need to be taxed. Well, you go ahead and bring it on, because this ministry pays its taxes. We are not a 501c3. And this, I knew all the way back 10 years ago that this day was coming. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for showing that and revealing it to us. So fooey on you. I'm trying to tell you, we're in the last days, my friend, and wolves and sheep and goats are being exposed. Do you got them in your church? You got them in your family? You got them in your home study group? You'll find them. You'll see them. Go on social media. Go on Twitter. Go on Facebook. Go on TikTok. Go on Instagram. You'll find them. You'll see them. And you know what I've been doing? Click, click, click. Because listen to me, if you can't stand on what Jesus said, if you disagree with the words of Christ, if you call something that God called an abomination acceptable, tolerable, a right, whatever, then you, listen, I don't need no fellowship with you. What fellowship does darkness have with light and Christ with Belial? You can go your way and I'll go my way. Paul said, mark those which cause divisions among you. And sadly, the divisions are coming from this nonsense right here. Again, this is a black and white issue. There is no in between on this. I'm sorry, but there's not. And these people are going to answer to God, my friend. You will answer to God. If you come up with some excuse of why, that even though God's word says that certain things are an abomination, and you come up with some excuse to validate it, promote it, agree with it, tolerate it, support it, or live that lifestyle, you're going to stand before God one day and you're going to have to answer to him. And you know what he's going to say? What did my word say about it? Because you know the scripture, the word of God says that every man will be judged. And you know how they're going to be judged? The word of God that's been here. It changed. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of this word shall pass until all things be fulfilled. Jesus Christ said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I am the Lord who changes not. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org. endtimeheadlines.com. I know it's a little bit different today, but I hope this has been an equipping message to you. I hope this has edified you, equipped you. I hope it equips you to be skilled in recognizing. Because listen, we're going to go back to an environment. You get off of this, you're going to be exposed to goats and sheeps and wolves, and you need to know how to identify them. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to download our free app. Again, it's available on Apple. It's available on Android. You can get it free today. It's right there at your Play Store on either one of those, whichever you have that supports that, Apple or Android. Hit the hit the push notifications to get notified of every headline and every podcast that we do, and they'll be right there at your fingertips. And as always, we want to give you the opportunity. Again, we just want to let you know, we are not a 501c3, but if this ministry is encouragement to you, blesses you, informs you, equips you, and you would like to support our ministry, some people say, well, I don't want to do it because I can't get a tax write-off. I mean, you know, that's between you and God, whatever. But I'll tell you right now, I don't give to get tax write-offs. I give because God tells me to give. Hello. But anyway, you give whatever the Lord purposes on your heart, and God will bless you. We don't manipulate you. We don't control you. And we don't get up here and make up a bunch of garbage that I see these people doing all the time. Oh, you know, if you give X amount of dollars, God's going to do this and do that. That is nonsense, and it is manipulation. We don't do that. We just simply say, if this ministry is a blessing to you and you'd like to support the ministry of End Time Headlines with a gift of any amount or become a monthly partner, you pray about that and you do according to what the Spirit of God speaks to you or tells you to do. You can give two different ways. You can give by the app electronically, again, through the app, or by the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or you can get by check or money order by simply making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. And as always, if you give by check or money order, please, if you can, leave us an email address so that we can personally email you and thank you for your generous support of our ministry. So listen, we love you guys. I want to give you a quick update real quick. I know many of you guys have been praying for me, and I from the bottom of my heart, guys, I cannot express the gratitude of Thanksgiving for prayer. Listen, when we moved from Indiana to Georgia, I knew it was going to be a little bit different in regards to seasonal changes, but my goodness, from having allergies to sinuses to having COVID back in November, it's just been a concoction of just a sinus nightmare. As many of you know, I've been having a lot of pain and issues in my eyes and temples and head and behind my eyes and in my eyes. And I went to an eye specialist and he assured me it is not coming from my eyes. Thank God. There was no damage seen or anything like that. And based on my symptoms, he emphatically said it was sinus related, which I kind of already had known that, but I just wanted to get a confirmation on that. So we're back to the, you know, and being that I live in Georgia, apparently this is like this is almost kind of like a lifestyle that you have to come accustomed to, and you just got to know what works for you and what concoctions that you can use and do and this and that to bear with that. Because in here in Georgia, at least where I live, we don't really have hard winters. We hardly get much snow at all. So unlike where I lived in the north, you would have four seasons. Here it's just warm, really warm, kind of warm, and then it goes back to just a little bit cool. So it's a constant state of inflammation. So, but anyway, again, just continue. I appreciate your prayers and we'll get through this. The Lord is good. And we thank you guys for your prayers and intercession. So let me pray for you guys. And then we're going to sign off for today. What is tomorrow? Wednesday. We'll be back on Wednesday because we weren't here on Monday. And we'll probably take off maybe Thursday and be back on Friday. So until then, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. And Father, I pray for discernment. I pray for wisdom. I pray for the Spirit of God I pray this word that went forth today would not return void, but it will equip the listeners that received it today, and it will be a great blessing to them, and they will be able to recognize the wolves, the goats, and the tares among them. And Lord, I pray that we all would spend more time with the great shepherd so that we can become more accustomed to and that we could recognize his voice and the sensitivity of it, so that when he speaks in that small, still voice, we will hear that even in the midst of a noisy world that's trying to drown out the voice of the shepherd through everything that's going on in this world today. And Father, we thank you for this, and we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you guys. Again, we'll sign off for today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.